Lesson number 11, Symbols for the Saints. Symbols are visible items that are designed to convey certain truths. The seven-branch candlestick was a symbol that was designed to indicate how light should be disseminated. Incense is a symbol. The lamb is a symbol. This week we are going to study New Testament symbols which Christ designed to enable our understanding of certain ideas to be deepened and our awareness of certain theological truth to be kept in mind. And when we fulfill these symbols as ceremonies, then the very practice enforces, endorses, underlines the lessons we are learning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's right. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must have faith in these symbols that God has given to us in his word. Now God has seen that human beings need to do certain things. I need to take my money out of my pocket and divide it into 10 parts and give 1/10. I've got to do that. I have got to look at this food and I have got to tell my mouth, you don't eat this, you don't drink this, you can eat this. I've got to do it. I've got to tell myself, I do not eat more than this. I've got to take my feet and I've got to submit those feet to somebody to wash them. There is a time in my life when I've got to take my body to a pastor and say to the pastor, I want you to put this body under the water. God has given us certain things to do in order to reinforce some ideas and concepts and indicate to ourselves and to others that we are in a certain relationship with him. Part number one. The Old Testament is full of symbols and types that help us to understand how symbols function in the New Testament. Take, for example, the story of the Passover. Beginning in the time of the emancipation of Egypt, it was full of activities that were to hold fresh in the minds of the worshippers aspects of deity. A lamb, the blood of the lamb, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, sprinkling on the door, all these symbolic activities were to impress truths on the minds of the people who listened. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, realized that the crossing of the Red Sea typified baptism, that the guiding by the cloud indicated that they were in subordination and subjection to a baptismal death of self. He could read in these typical symbolic events wonderful truths that were made possible through insights granted by the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ gives certain specific symbolic acts that are part of the Christian church. Part number two deals with baptism. Baptism. John the Baptist started to baptize as an act of initiation by which the followers, disciples, became members of a little society that he was forming. Jesus Christ himself was baptized, and Jesus Christ authorized his followers to go into all the world to baptize. This was a universal mission. It was to cover all time till the end. And it was to indicate the acceptance of the disciple as a member of the society of Jesus Christ. They were to preach, make disciples, and then baptize. Baptism is the immersing, the burying in water of the communicant, of the believer, of the disciple. It's to signify that he acknowledges that he should die. He acknowledges that he is being buried. He accepts the fact that he is brought up out of the water in a kind of resurrection, that therefore he has a new lease on life, and therefore he is beginning again. So all the activity of baptism, the symbolic deeds, are to impress truths into his mind. Part number 3 continues the thought of baptism. It is to be a new birth through water. It's as if a seed was planted in the ground and then germinated. It was as if an offensive corpse had been buried in the soil and was now coming to newness of life. It's a past and a future. It's an act that separates one form of mental philosophy and way of life and is a being born again to a new way. Baptism is the symbol, and the baptism of a communicant is the symbolic act by which he is initiated through faith by an impression of the significance of the acts into the Christian church. Part number 4. In the Last Supper, taking the symbol of the Passover, Jesus Christ inaugurates a communion service by which we communicate with him. He took the bread and the wine, and he used these two as symbols of his body broken, for the bread had to be broken, and the blood spilled. The bread must be unfermented, must be whole wheat, it must be baked, and everything connected with the making of it was symbolic. Wheat was planted and died and grew up and was cut down and was threshed and was crushed and was hammered in the dough, pummeled, baked in the fire, torn to pieces, chewed by the teeth. All these symbolic acts were to point to his body broken. Then the grape was to be cut down and was to be crushed in the wine press, stamped on by the feet of men, its life blood, its life essence poured out, pointing to the blood that was spilled. And so he can say, "This is my body that is broken for you, and this is my life, my blood that is spilled for you." So in the communion service, we have the broken body and the spilled blood. Part number 5. In part of the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ performed a very wonderful act in John 13. In fact, he performed this rite of foot washing before the communion service. It was Christ's preparation for the communion service. Now notice what he did. He sat down at the head of the meal. Then at a certain juncture, he riseth from supper. He left his royal throne and kingly crown. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel, the symbol of servitude. He girded himself, the preparation for service. Then he poured water. He made the provision. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. He carried out his responsibility. John 13, 4 and 5 parallels the first half of Philippians 2. It's the great self-emptying. It's the symbol of the kenosis of Christ. This is what he did. He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you call me Lord and Master." He was both. And he says, "I have given you an example." So in the rite of foot washing, we get an example of Christ's life of self-emptying service. He laid aside his robes. He girded himself with a towel. He became a servant and poured water. He washed the disciples' feet. He dried them with a towel. And then he sat down again. This is the act of Christ in leaving the throne, doing his service, and getting back to his throne. Now he says, "I have given you an example." And the rite of foot washing is the symbol of the life of Christ. When I carry out the service, I take my jacket off, I get a bowl of water, I kneel down, I wash my brother's feet, I dry them with a towel, and I pray for him, and then I sit down again. I empty myself of self in order that I might serve my brother. This is the ordinance of foot washing. Now we have thought of the three symbolic rites that we find in the New Testament. And I would put them in this order. In the service of foot washing, I identify with Christ's life of self-emptying serving. In the bread and wine, I identify with Christ's sufferings and death. And the foot washing is the preparation for the sufferings and death, because Christ's life was preparatory to Christ's death. Christ's death was the second death. He died the penal death. And if I try to die without Christ, I have no resurrection. I'm eating and drinking damnation to myself as I participate in the symbol of that death. So in order to eat worthily, I must by faith symbolically identify myself with Christ's worthy life. So I participate in foot washing that I might put on Christ's life, and then I participate in the bread and wine that I might share with Christ's second death. The two should never be separated. And I teach every congregation and student that I ever stand before never to take part in the bread and wine without foot washing. When I say never, there are exceptions. If somebody has had his feet amputated, he cannot participate in foot washing. If somebody is in bed with arthritis and he cannot move, then he cannot wash feet. And so it's when we are able, we participate in foot washing, that we might prepare ourselves to participate in the bread and wine. Then in the baptismal service, I identify with Christ's burial and resurrection. So his life of self-emptying service in foot washing, his death in suffering and dying in the bread and wine, and his resurrection in baptism. So in these three symbolic acts, I become one with Christ's life, death, and resurrection. I am then made a partaker with the Savior. In part number 6, Paul emphasizes that I should do this till the Lord come. He says, I demonstrate the effect of Christ's death till he come. The Lord's death till he come. This is the meaning of this service. It's nothing static. It's nothing merely commemorative, it's a demonstration. I show the Lord's death. The force of the word show is what an Electrolux salesman would do when he exhibits his product in operation. So when I participate in foot washing and the Lord's Supper, this is to help me to enter into a symbolic relationship so that the reality of it may enable me in my life's experience to demonstrate that the Lord has died for me until he come a second time without sin unto salvation.